This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. A senior Caritas official who's just returned from the Syrian city of Aleppo says the humanitarian crisis there is beyond human imagination, with many areas in the east looking as though they'd been hit by a nuclear bomb. Patrick Nicholson is the head of communications for Caritas Internationalis, and he spoke to me earlier about the situation there.
I don't think I've seen in 20 years of covering emergencies and humanitarian crises a level of destruction quite so extraordinary as in eastern Aleppo. Literally, I mean, every single building has huge destruction to it. And in between the crevices and the cracks of all this rubble are women and children trying to survive by finding bits of metal here and there from the rubble and selling it and using that money to buy food. It's incredibly cold. When I was there, it was freezing. And
no heating, of course.
No heating, no electricity. If they find rubbish to burn, they burn that. But of course, that's poisonous, especially for children. So you can't imagine a bleaker situation.
I read also that 1.8 million people in Aleppo are without water. I mean, that's a huge number. And where are they getting this water from? Are they getting enough for their daily needs?
Well, there's the city is divided into East and West Aleppo. So the east of the city was the one which has sustained the most damage. But the whole city has a very poor water supply. So the whole city is suffering from a lack of water and a lack of heating and a lack of food and a lack of jobs and a lack of medicine. There's nothing there, basically, especially in the east. It's really a war-ravaged city.
Are there a number of humanitarian organisations like Caritas there on the ground, and what role are they playing in trying to resolve this dire situation?
Caritas has always worked in the west of the city. The east was controlled by a fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organisation, so we had no access there. Now they have gone. We've set up an office there and have started to provide basic aid and looking to build up on that aid. So that the kind of aid I'm talking about is the stuff that you need to survive.
And amidst this very, very bleak, desolate situation, how did you find the morale of the people that you met?
I mean, it's strange, in eastern Aleppo, which is just unbelievably damaged. It's just post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear bomb. I mean, that's the kind of thing it reminds you of. But still there, you go there and people, there was a guy with some cake, offering me some cake. People were friendly and nice and very warm to me. The staff of Caritas, of course, were overjoyed that somebody from the outside world had come to visit them.
And how many people from this city want to leave it or leave Syria and go and start a new life abroad?
I think the ones who could leave have left, and the ones who can't leave are still there. I mean, some say they want to stay. Some say that they don't believe there's a future for them in Europe. They have friends or family who've gone to Europe and have heard about the terrible conditions that those people face, freezing in a station in Belgrade or being kept
shipwrecked
or drowning.
It's also that option of leaving is becoming more and more difficult, isn't it? Especially given the desire by the new US administration to impose this temporary ban on refugees from seven countries. One of those seven countries, of course, is Syria.
The ban on Syrian refugees, what really highlighted to me what was wrong with that ban, or why that ban is deeply unfair. When I was in eastern Aleppo doing house-to-house visits to find families that were vulnerable and provide them with targeted aid, I came across six children. They were aged from 12 to 9 months old. They were living completely on their own in a bombed out house. Their original house had been blown to smithereens by a barrel bomb.
Their parents?
Their father had been arrested, and then subsequently their mother had been arrested. And so they had been living on their own for 2 months. A 9 month old baby, no heating, no nappies. They would find bits of metal, bits of scrap metal, and sell that for food. But at night, men would come into where they were sleeping and take all their food. They were living in rubble. It was terrifying because they were so vulnerable, and the nine-month-old baby, you would just wondered how they could survive another day. It was just a horrific situation.
Was anybody taking care of these children, at least ensuring they got the food then and water every day to survive?
Well, what Caritas did when we found these children was working with the United Nations. We found a local NGO who could put them in a safe place in an orphanage so they would be protected, they would be fed, and then we would inform the police and the social services to contact their mother so that when she was released, she would know where to find them. But when we were on the way, when we were taking these children out of this devastated house, we met another family of children who had no parents, three more children. So,
and how many others are there in that city? Probably scores.
Yeah, I mean, there are 25,000 children there who are unregistered, who've been born since the fighting began in eastern Aleppo, so have no papers. But when you think, in one day, in one morning, we managed to get nine children into some kind of safety, just few of our staff managed to do that, then one would hope that countries around the world with more means than we have would show some backbone and courage and save millions of children who are in need.
So it's a pretty desperate situation there. Do you think this humanitarian crisis is getting the publicity it needs?
It is a really desperate situation. And I think when you see, though, that the people there, there are people there who are really committed to peace, who are really committed to making the lives of their neighbours and their family and their friends better, even though they've got nothing themselves. Yet still they're there doing their best to try and help those who are in even more vulnerable situation than them. And if that is a symbol of hope and optimism and peace. So when I was there, I taught my Syrian translator two words, optimism and rubble. So I'm hoping he'll use optimism more than rubble.
So what feelings did you go away with at the end of that visit? As you say, very eye-opening.
It was extraordinary. I mean, it was really the situation in eastern Aleppo, and what you see is beyond human imagination. So it was very moving, and to see people in that situation trying to survive was awful. But then to see people there trying to help them was inspiring at the same time.
And I was speaking there to Patrick Nicholson of Caritas about his visit to Aleppo.